Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week, you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through meditations, readings, and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. I'm Susan Jane, the Intuitist, and I'll be your host for this Intuition and Spirituality series. Now, I'm not sure if you've listened to the podcast before, but you've probably noticed that my voice is a little bit flat today. And there's a big reason behind it, which I will go through in the podcast. So this is podcast 1.24, A World of Trust and Decision Making. Now, I did speak last week about the situation that was happening at home. I want to go through this again. It's happening to me now, and it's happening in my situation, and I'm sure it is happening to millions of other people around the world. So I will give you a little quick background on what's happening here, and I want to share this story for the sole purpose of helping others, letting them know that there's a few of us in this boat, and maybe we can help each other get through it. So a couple of weeks ago, my partner's son came to stay with us. He was kicked out of his place where he was living with his girlfriend and young baby. He is staying with us with the proviso that he booked in for rehab because he has a very strong drug addiction. We thought it was to prescription pills, but the week has produced other addictions that he has, including the little nitrous oxide bottles that they use to make whipped cream with, the little canisters of gas, and other drugs of choice, so not just the prescription drugs. The last time he stayed with us, there was a lot of fear in me, within me, and a lot of distrust. I felt fearful of my own physical situation and really felt quite violated in the home. I believe he was on probably ice at that stage, or maybe meth. This particular time, I don't have the fear, but there is the element of distrust, and we have to make a lot of decisions around this element or this situation. So it's not an easy time. And one of the things that makes it very different this time around is the trust I have for my partner. He has really stepped up to the plate this time. He has really put down some rules and regulations and is endeavouring to stick by them. Now, this isn't easy. He has a strong fear that his son will not survive this, will not survive much longer. One way or another, he will either overdose intentionally, unintentionally, we're not sure, or he will just give up. So, although he is in quite a depressive state, he's not in a suicidal state at this stage. However, he is using those. How can I explain it? He's using those tactics to emotionally manipulate my partner. Me, on the outside, slightly on the outside, can see what's happening. So, my partner's ex-wife manipulated him emotionally, as my ex-husband manipulated me emotionally. So we are quite aware of that. He has never experienced it from his family, his children, and he is experiencing that this time. So Please excuse me, I have not written out any of this podcast. I am trusting my intuition to bring forward what I need to bring forward in order to help yourself or, you know, people that are listening. So the structure could be all over the place, which is a little bit challenging for me. But I just want to speak from the heart. So when I talk about the trust and the decision making, what is happening is whenever we look at the trust element, majority of times we're looking at ourselves, the trust element in ourselves. Now, the reason why I didn't trust him so much last time, apart from his energies being all over the place and he was in a very untrustworthy state, the main issue was I didn't trust his ability to make the right decisions, to make the decisions that were suitable for him and his lifestyle. He was making decisions that were not trustworthy for him. So when you're looking at trust, we start to look at it in a manner that is not conducive to what another person could or could not do to you. It is the trust element you have within yourself to make the right decisions for you. Now, when I looked at this, I started to go a little bit deeper. Another young man I know has trust issues with his partner. You know, there was elements of, well, I don't even know if the baby's mine, you know, this sort of trust situation, and she doesn't trust him, he doesn't trust her. It is not, again, about what the other person can or can't do. That's the physical element of trust. The physical element is they could go out and have an affair, they could hurt you, they could do lots of different things. There's a real physical element of trust. But there's the spiritual element of trust. Now, the physical element of trust is usually regarding an external circumstance, somebody else. I don't trust them because they could do this, they could do that. They may hurt me, they may sleep with somebody else, they may betray me. The physical element of trust in that aspect is all about the external person. It's about the other person. And in all reality, we have no control over that. We can't do anything about what another person can or can't do. We do not have control over that, unless, of course, you're in a narcissistic relationship where the narcissist has control over you. Completely different topic, completely different podcast, and I've been involved in that too. This element, the spiritual element of trust, is about how we feel about ourselves, how we can trust ourselves. Now, when somebody is playing up in a relationship, they will often blame the other person and they'll say, oh, yeah, well, you're probably doing all the wrong things anyway. Because they have that element of guilt about their own trust. They do not trust themselves. Now, if you cannot trust yourself, then you don't trust others. If you trust yourself, then you have the element or the ability to go, my intuition doesn't feel right. I don't trust what that person's saying. I trust what my intuition is saying. I'm not going to go there. I'm putting together these packs to help you develop your intuition. And I ordered a lot of pendulums through a company in India. Now, as soon as I ordered them, the intuition started to go through the trust element. And I started to think, well, you know, I'm paying this money. Am I going to get the goods? It played on my mind for a little while and then I let it go. Then it played on my mind again for another bit more and I contacted them and they, you know, got back to me. And then I let it go for a bit. And this happened over a long period of time. Now, the problem was not so much in the trust, but the problem was in the communication. This company, if they had just sent me a little message every now and again, like once a week, saying, we're still looking at, we're aware of it's taking a little bit longer, just bear with us, we're doing the best we can, you know, because of COVID, because of the situation, it's taking a bit longer than anticipated. just a little message each time, instead of all of a sudden you sort of go 2 weeks down the track and think, that stuff hasn't arrived yet. And you go through all that element where you're starting to think about the trust aspect. Again, that trust is about not trusting the person to send me the goods after I've paid for it. That trust is a physical trust. It's about somebody else. And in all honesty, I had no control over that. If they chose not to send it, they chose not to send it. There was nothing I could do about it. So I had to then go back into myself and go, okay, what is it, the spiritual side of this trust? And then I looked at it and I went, you know, in all honesty, I'm paying this much money. If it didn't come through, then so be it. I've learned a lesson there. I'll do it differently next time. But eventually they came in and I'm putting together these developing your intuition packs. The elements of trust, if you're starting to not trust somebody and you've not done anything wrong, then that's your intuition coming through. If you are starting to doubt somebody and you have been doing the same thing wrong, then that is you projecting your mistrust out because you're not trusting yourself. So these are the elements we have. And what's happened in our relationship here when we look at the decision-making and trust, the decision-making has to come back to you trusting your decisions. It's not about the other person. It's about trusting your own decisions. When you're listening to your intuition, you're allowed, you can trust, and you can make those decisions accordingly. Because your intuition will only give you the information that will be beneficial for you. And when it's beneficial for you, the majority of times, it's beneficial for the greater good for the world around you. Because it is intuitive, it's from the spirit. So when we go through trust, when we start to have these feelings of trust, now if your partner is playing up, or it's something to that effect, and you're feeling that and you're understanding that, and you're not playing up, then there is that element of trust. He is physically creating that mistrust in you. So that means your intuition is going, there's something going on here, I'm not really sure. A lot of women, and I've not experienced this, but a lot of women are aware that their partner is having a relationship. They just choose to ignore it. And that, again, is okay. But don't expect to have a world of trust in that relationship if that's what you're doing. Because in all honesty, you should be bringing it forward to him and saying this, you know, how you're feeling and what you're experiencing. Of course, there's the consequences for that. So the consequences of not saying anything to your partner is that you've got to suck it up, princess, and live your life full of mistrust, not only for him or them. It is about yourself. You mistrust yourself and you will mistrust the world around you. You will have a world of mistrust. Nobody will be trusted. When we look at it the other side and we go, okay, there's this, we need to say something, we need to put it forward, we need to make it known. If he chooses to continue in that sort of a manner and you're accepting of that, then so be it. That's fine. At least you're open and honest about it. If you're not happy with that, well, then there's other things that need to be done. We've got free will. These are your choices. These are the choices that you're making. But you are going to always be feeling that intuitive, those intuitive messages coming through that will make you feel uncomfortable because you're choosing to ignore it. So that's the element of that side of it. When we get to there, we start to look at the decision-making and we can make those decisions. Can you imagine if you're feeling a little bit awkward or a little bit, angry or annoyed because your partner's having an affair with somebody? That is going to keep coming up. That's going to engulf your whole life. It is like this boy that's living with us. Well, he's 26, so he's a man who's living with us. His whole world is just wrapped up in getting his next fix getting his next lot of medication, getting his next lot of canisters to suck on. His whole world is focused around that because he can't trust himself to make the right decisions for his life and his family, mainly for him. So he has a world of distrust as well. He doesn't trust anyone. The only thing he can trust is the physical aspect of the medication, and he'll take that and do that, or the drugs, and he'll take that and do that because he knows what the results are going to be. So I'm not really sure where this podcast is going. Again, I've got this man that's living with us, young man that's living with us, who is family, so it's not so easy as to just kick him out. If we kick him out, which, to be honest, I'd love to do. I have no problems with that. I really don't have a problem with that. But then I am set back a little bit from it. It's not my son. It's my partner's son. What we can do is ask him to leave, and we know he has nowhere to go. So he's out on the streets. And, you know, that is something we can do. That is his situation. It's his problem. I have said that this man will not change until he hits his rock bottom. And then the change will be either he passes over and leaves this world, or he makes the necessary changes to live in a world of trust and positive decision-making. So they're his choices. And until he hits his rock bottom, whatever that looks like, he hits his rock bottom before he will make any changes. Now, this is all well and good, and my partner is fully aware of that. There is one issue that I have just now brought to him. As a life coach, I don't want to just bombard people with information. It is so much better to get that information as it is relevant to you. So hearing and listening to this podcast, it may be relevant to you. It may not be. I don't know. You may just like my voice. I said to my partner this week, okay, so we've talked about his rock bottom, and obviously he has gone from one environment where he was doing the drugs and everything else with his family, got kicked out of there. He's now in our environment where he's still doing the drugs, and we need to do something different. He hasn't hit his rock bottom, and the only way he's going to change is when he hits his rock bottom. So I said to my partner, the big question is now, what is your rock bottom? When does he hit your rock bottom for you to turn around and go, enough's enough, I can't do this, change has to come through now? So I put that to my partner so he has the trust in himself to know when it's his rock bottom and he has to make decisions accordingly. So I guess this is where I'm taking this whole podcast today, this whole talk today. It's about understanding and trusting yourself. When you've hit a situation where you're at your rock bottom, that's the only time that you will change and create something different. And it's often that negativity that will create the change. We don't have to hit rock bottom, rock bottom, but it is your rock bottom. So for me, a rock bottom could be quite shallow when we look at the state of my laundry with extra kids in there. Yikes, it just drives me crazy when I see clothes all over the laundry. Yes, I'm a bit of an OCD freak. I'm a bit of a clean freak. I can't help myself. My rock bottom when I walk into my laundry is very shallow, and I get very grumpy very quickly. So, you know, these are the things that we look at, and it's trusting that that's how I feel. And there's no need for those clothes to be there. We've all got our own baskets in our own room. We've all got our own way of doing things. But the common areas are to be kept clean. That's our rule. And that's the rule that when people come in and live under our roof, that is what the rules are. And the kitchen's another one, but we won't go into that. We all know what the kitchen's like. So these are understanding and trusting it. Now, I can turn around and say, well, I know that the two kids that are here, or the two young adults that are here, I do not trust them in the laundry because I know what they're like. But it's not a big deal. All right, it's really, that's not a big deal. But that is my, I put up with it. And then every now and then I hit a rock bottom enough to go, you know what, I've had enough. And I just pick up all their clothes and I throw them back in their bedrooms. Okay, so it's probably not the right thing to do, but you got to do something. I remember I hit rock bottom when I was on the farm with my son, and I said to him, we are not going anywhere until your room is done. I am sick and tired of looking at it. I just need to get an understanding of what I need to wash for the week ahead at school. So he came out, I don't know, 5 minutes later, and he said to me, Mum, all done. Can we go to football now? And I went, all right, I'm just going to go and check. And I've gone in and his room is all tidy. The bed's made, all the clothes are put away. Oh, I went, wow, this is really cool. No worries, off we go. And I don't know why. Maybe it was that little intuitive message that popped up and I went, something doesn't seem right. And I walked around the other side of the house and there's all his clothes on the ground outside. He had thrown all his clothes out of the window onto the ground outside. So the bedroom looked tidy, but all his clothes were outside. So, yeah, consequently, come on, back in, get this packed away. But I had to laugh. It was actually quite clever. But I trusted my intuition to go, yeah, it doesn't quite feel right, and double checked on it. So we have these elements of our rock bottom, and our rock bottom is just a bottom that will create that change. And it doesn't have to be the bottom of the ocean. It's just a level, and that level can change as you grow and as you develop. What we tend to do with in a relationship when we've experienced a betrayal or an affair in that aspect, we often push our rock bottom further and further down. It sort of gets deeper and you allow circumstances and situations to happen, and all that time your intuition is throwing you these messages saying that's not right, it doesn't feel right, it shouldn't be happening. But for some reason we're not trusting that information, or we are hearing it. We know it's happening, you can't ignore it, but we're choosing not to make a decision on it. You will have your rock bottom even lower. One of the elements that I remember saying to my partner when I first met him, and I sort of said to him, so in your relationship, what would be a deal breaker? Now, I look at a deal breaker as a situation where it's gone too far and I don't want to be in that relationship anymore. It's a deal breaker. It breaks the deal. Now, when I was first met him, he had the three children. They were still young. So at that stage, I had met, well before that, my husband, who had three children already. He didn't have a lot to do with them, and they were teenagers when I met them. So my ex-husband was about 13 years my senior. So when I met him, he'd had three teenagers. The two girls came and lived with us at different times, and they were really emotionally disturbed, to put it nicely. And they were going through a lot of stuff. Their mother was schizophrenic and they were having a lot of issues. So they stayed with us for a very short time, didn't last too long, and they went on their merry way over periods of time. Then I did actually end up getting quite close to one of the girls, as she had her own children. So we actually became quite close there. I'll tell you another story about that, and that's pretty hard to take as well. But anyway, that's another story. Then I had my own three kids and had to go, I went through that. Then I've met my partner now, and he had three kids. He started late in life, so he still had three kids at home. So when I sort of first met him, we were going out, probably going out for about 6 months, 8 months. And these kids, I could see that they were just starting to come into teenagers. And I'd had such a horrendous time with my ex-husband's kids. And then I had my own kids. I really didn't want to go through another set of like stepchildren, you know, that sort of element. So after, you know, we'd been going out for about 8 months, I actually called it off. To me, this having the three kids going through teenagers was a deal breaker. I could not handle it. It was a deal breaker. And I liked this man. We got along well, but we weren't in a strong enough relationship for me to go, you know what, I'll take on the kids. No way. My kids had just grown up. They were having kids of their own. I didn't want to have teenagers. So it was a deal breaker, and we split up for probably, I think, about 6 months, and then we got back together. Now, with his son moving in and being a drug addict, I'm questioning my decision. But I didn't. I trusted my intuition then, and I will stick with him. But I remember saying to him once, so what's a deal breaker for you? You know what I experienced, and you know that, you know, I ended up looking at the kids saying, well, the kids will be going through the teenagers and then they'll be moving on. So it's not forever. The kids won't be living with us forever. Unfortunately, one's 26 and one's 24 that are living with us, and I can't see a way out at the moment. But anyway, so I said to him, what's your deal breaker? What is it that would break your deal? And he goes, oh, well, I suppose if you had an affair or something, that would break the deal. And I went, well, funnily enough, that's one of my deal breakers. I wouldn't do that. I said, and when I've met you, I always felt that you would never, ever be the type of person to do that. I had a lot of trust in you and your decision-making abilities. I had a lot of trust in the fact that you would make the right decisions for you and for those around you. So I've trusted you and consequently went with you. I said, but what's really strange is you say that that's your deal breaker, and yet your ex had an affair before you got married, had an affair while you were married, and has had an affair on the guy that she had an affair with, that she hooked up with after your relationship, and she's having another affair now. You knew she had an affair, and yet it didn't break the deal. So what is your deal breaker? And I said to him, you don't need to answer me, because it's none of my business. You need to answer yourself, and you need to look at it there. And I ask you, what is your deal breaker? And I look at a situation that I'm in now, and at this stage I don't feel unsafe. I feel quite secure. I think the young man's on a different sort of medication. I also feel my partner has stepped up and is more aware and starting to do a little bit more of the tough love. So that at the moment is not a deal breaker. Last week, maybe. Last week I was looking at a little one-room apartment, so I must admit, because I started going, well, if I have to leave, I will leave. You know, I don't, that's what it's all about. But I don't want to leave the relationship. I wanted to leave the situation. And there's a difference in that. So I needed to look at that. And again, I stepped up in my trust of myself to make the decisions I need to make when I need to make them and make them appropriately. So I guess the takeaway from all this, if you want more trust in your relationship, start to trust the decisions and the information you're receiving, trust your intuition, those intuitive messages you're receiving, and make the decisions accordingly until you start to trust yourself and the decisions that you make. You will not be able to trust others. And the reality is, if you're aware that someone's having an affair or doing something wrong by you, you will get those intuitive messages. If you choose not to make those decisions, if you choose not to step forward, if you choose not to go that way, then that's fine. You're still going to get those messages. It's still going to make you feel uncomfortable because you need to start to trust you, what your spirit needs, what you need, and you need to make those decisions accordingly. And, mate, it's not easy. It really isn't easy. Leaving my relationship was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. But there's been a few other harder ones, I can assure you. Some really hard decisions. And I've had to trust that this was the right decision to make. But that's for another podcast. If you want, look, if you're stuck and you do need to reach out, there is associations that will help you. If you just need someone to talk to, look, reach out. I'll do my best, you know, to give you advice or guidance. I know I'm in Australia and most of my listeners are in America, but hey, I'm here if you need it, if you want to listen to somebody with a crazy accent. That's my English and Australian accent mixed up. Look, just give me a yell. My email, if you do want to contact, is info@intuitivenature.com.au. If you want more understanding or tools for trusting your intuition, subscribe to the podcast or follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Jump onto the website. It is www.intuitivenature.com.au. And check out the blogs and free resources. There's a real fun make your own mandalas on there. It's really fun. You have to have a play. It's in the free resources. I have a Facebook group called Emotional Mastery. Now, I have every intentions of being more interactive on it, but I have been a bit busy. But if you want to put up a picture of your flower goal, I'll try and get there and give it a free reading. So remember, we are all naturally intuitive. It is part of human nature. It's our intuitive nature. So I'm Susan Jane Intuitus from Intuitive Nature, and I wish you all the very, very best. Contact me if you do want a hand or if you just want to reach out. And I thank you for listening. Have a great week, guys. Bye for now.